a mistake. I'll admit it. That was a poor choice of words about a serious issue. And the serious issue is, what progress are we making structurally? Look, best deal in the world, strongest budget in the world, and the most new trade deals.
Well, there you go. The Prime Minister yesterday addressing the who cares comment that he made when he was asked, when's the last time you talked to Trump? Who cares? Well, you knew. We talked about this yesterday. You knew. Pierre Poilievre and the opposition are going to be all over that going, well, we care. Canadians care. You ran on an election platform saying you were the best person to deal with Trump, and now you're saying, who cares? Yesterday, I said, I'm sure his comms people were like, oh my God, Mark, why? Why would you use those words? Anyway, yesterday, he apologized. I don't know if you call that an apology. He said it was a bad choice of words. It was a bad choice of words. He let his emotions get in front of him. There's no doubt about that. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. We started off with Robert Freeburg, the Saskatchewan Firearms Commissioner, and Blaine Bevan joined him as well, Senior Legal Counsel for the Firearms Office. Yesterday, they came out with some new legislation. So this is to further protect Saskatchewan legal firearm owners. We know that last year they introduced legislation to say, if you are coming to the province or you are wanting to work within the province to basically seize firearms from people as part of this federal buyback, you need to be licensed for that. No one has got a license for it, so technically no one in Saskatchewan is able to do this. However, individual firearm owners still have the ability to voluntarily do this. So their newest piece of legislation yesterday is about ensuring that those firearm owners that choose to voluntarily comply with this buyback will be compensated at a fair rate of compensation. They'll basically do an appraisal on your gun. They'll give you an official certificate to say what its value is. And then when the federal government says, here's what we'll give you for your gun, you can say, my appraisal says it's worth this. They're saying it's a document that will hold up in court. Again, things that are being put in place to try and protect firearm owners in the province. And I noticed lots of people on the text line weighing in on this. Edwin called in right away from Regina. Edwin, thanks so much for your interest in the topic. You're a firearms owner, I'm assuming?
Yep.
And so what are your thoughts on what's happening and what the province is doing trying to protect lawful firearm owners?
It doesn't go far enough. Somebody's got to worry about our property rights. As we've seen, this is being infringed on. Nothing's being done. Nobody's worried about it. We need some teeth behind this. And also with this grandfathering. Grandfathering just confiscating at a later date. There was a lot of short barrel pistols, which I believe if they were measured properly, that would not have been short barrel pistols. And then they got grandfathered and they could go to nobody. And it really got destroyed because we said that you couldn't own that property.
Just delaying the inevitable is what you're saying.
Yes, and we need to get paid for our property. If we don't start now, it's going to be our car tomorrow. We're always seeing movement on our houses, on our property. This is going crazy because nobody's standing up.
Well, the provincial government, I mean, I hear what you're saying about teeth. I mean, the provincial government is doing way more, our province doing way more than any other government on the issue of firearms, certainly that I've seen, putting these pieces of legislation in. And you'll remember we had Bob Freeburg on the show a while ago when he first said, look, we don't agree with this buyback, but if they're so focused on proceeding with this, you know, is there an appetite to look at grandfathering? And I think it was a bit of a last ditch effort to try and lobby the federal government to realize doing this right now is going to cost you a lot of money. The likelihood of success, even with the program parameters as it's set up right now, is low. The likelihood of success at reducing firearm related crime is, I don't even know if it could be measured. So there's lots of tries to try and put a hand up and block this from happening right here. I still wonder if this is going to go by way of the gun registry, which you'll remember back in the 90s was a topic of discussion, early 2000s, and millions of dollars spent on that federally, only to have it scrapped. I still am not convinced that that's not where this is going to end up. There's going to be a lot of pain. There's going to be a lot of money spent before we get there, but I do think that's the way it's going to go. Well, budget Talks are happening in Saskatoon. Saskatoon City Council, of course, fired up yesterday with budget talks. And we have Lara Fominoff, who will be following along all week and then joining us on Friday to talk about where the dust settles. I had some stuff sent to me yesterday that I wanted to talk about on the air. So typically the way budgets go, and I, whether I liked it or not, sat through years of budgets at Regina City Hall in my time at the police service. Day one, of course, the mayor introduces, welcome to our annual budget process. Here's kind of the agenda as it's going to roll out over the next few days. And it always starts with delegations. And the delegations are, they could be companies, they could be interest groups, they could be individuals that take the time to submit an application to present to council on a topic related to budget that they would like have brought to council's attention. So usually it's with a special interest in mind of something they would like to see money allocated to, or it's a budget item that they think, look, this is too much money we're spending on this. So it's basically a lobby effort, if you will, but they call them delegations. And this happens every year. And I can tell you, through the years, we, the Regina Police Service, were usually kind of the first official part of the Regina budget, but we would come to present after the delegations. There were some years delegations would go the whole first morning and most of the first afternoon. Like, there was a lot of people. I remember one year there was 32 delegations. Everybody's given 5 minutes. They give their presentation and then council can engage with them and ask questions if they want. So it can take a long time if you've got a number of people. In Saskatoon yesterday, they start off exactly as I described. The mayor, Cynthia Block, says, okay, here's the plan for budget. We're going to go first into delegations. And the delegations, I don't know how the city decides the order, but there is an order. So number one is Alan. Number two is Betty. Number three is, and each of these persons represents a different group. The Saskatoon Tribal Council Chief, Mark Arcand, was low on the delegation list. So he was one of many delegates there to talk. He makes an application or asks somehow, informally, I'm assuming, prior to the actual day starting, to be bumped up on the agenda because he's busy. And he doesn't want to wait for all of the other delegates. I like Mark Arcand. I've had Chief Arcand on this program before. I think he does tons of good work in the community. Saskatoon Tribal Council does tons of good work. This has a bad look to it. This is someone saying, I'm more important than the rest of the delegates, and I would like to be allowed to go first because I'm a busy guy. I got lots of things going on. What about Shirley Isbister, who is there from Métis Federation? How about Keith Moan there from the North Saskatoon Business Association? The people there to talk about homelessness, climate, Saskatoon Heritage Society, Nutrien Wonder Hub, the University of Saskatchewan. You want me to keep going? There was close to 30 delegations there yesterday. Chief Arcand says, I'm sorry, I'm a busy guy. I can't wait. You got to bump me to the front of the line. And I've got a snippet of the conversation that was happening with mayor and council around, and then the vote as to whether or not to bump him up in the line.
Donner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually have a concern about this, and with all due respect to the tribal chief, I'm not going to get into debating who's the most important person in the room today, and I have a lot of respect for the tribal chief, but I actually agree with Councillor Pierce. Everybody's waiting. We have an agenda, and there's a lot of contentious things we're going to speak about this week. The order of speakers is not going to be one of them for me.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak to this? Okay, so I'm going to call the question. Is anyone opposed to moving up Tribal Chief in this agenda today? Councillor Donauer and Councillor Pierce and Councillor Dubois. Okay, it carries. Okay, thanks very much, everyone.
So that's the vote that happened at Saskatoon Council. This is a slippery slope. Like, how do you decide? I'm guessing everybody that was there is busy. I'm guessing everybody that's there would rather not sit through 4 hours of delegations before they have their 5 minutes to talk. And again, I'd say this if Chief Arcand was sitting here in the room with me. I like Mark Arcand. I think he's a great leader. I just think this was a little bit tone deaf to the room. It's a slippery slope. I'm surprised that Saskatoon Council went with it. So before you even get into the contentious discussions around how you're going to spend taxpayer money, they got into an argument as to the order of speakers and what the delegations will look like. So anyway, that was how it started off yesterday morning. Of course, day one is yesterday. Day two starts today. Lara Fominoff back down there following this again, and we will continue to follow this closely and bring you the update where the dust settles. What is the tax increase for citizens in the city of Saskatoon? Okay, let's take our first break. We'll come back. More open lines, more texts from you when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Turned out the SAS party budget wasn't worth the paper it was printed on. Nonsense numbers from a government that is unwilling to be honest with the people of Saskatchewan. Their mismanagement of our public finances is something that should be accepted by no one.
Craig Witherspoon, Saskatchewan NDP finance critic, with the response to the fiscal update yesterday, halfway through the year, and it looks as if what was going to be a small surplus is now a fairly big deficit, $427 million. We've got Jim Ryder joining us at 9:30. That's the provincial finance minister, so we'll talk a bit about the pressures, any missteps that if they had to do it again, they would throw this budget out differently. We'll talk about that with the minister coming up in a little bit. Fog is heavy. And it is consistent on the text line, whether it's Sunset Cove, Corning, Saskatchewan, Warman, Saskatchewan, Shelley, Les, Shauna, all texting in saying, absolutely, put your lights on. Not good. 75 feet, some of the highways in the province saying that's how far you're going to see in front of your lights. So speeds are reduced. And if you don't have your lights on, it's not only for the things that are approaching you, but vehicles coming up behind you may not see you, and it could cause, if they're driving a lot slower, your lights need to be on to keep things safe. We'll keep you up to date on this. And again, I say it every time, but I appreciate those of you that are willing to shoot us a text. We've even got a couple of pictures showing us how thick that fog is in parts of the province and expected to be that way still for another hour or so likely. Well, between the firearm buyback program, which many people like to refer to as the federal confiscation program, between that budget in Saskatoon, the discussions that are happening there, Mark Carney's misspeak earlier this week, of course, we talked about the fact that Mark Carney, while he was at the G20, was asked a question about when was the last time you talked with Donald Trump? He says, who cares? Yesterday, Pierre Poilievre, of course, not going to let that go.
Before the election, he promised elbows up. After, it was who cares? Before the election, he said the tariffs were an existential crisis. Now he says they're not a burning issue. Before the election, he promised to negotiate a win. After, he backed down to American tariffs, and those tariffs have now doubled on Canadian aluminum, autos, and steel, and tripled on Canadian lumber. Before the election, he promised the fastest growing economy in the G7. After, he delivered the fastest shrinking economy. Why is the prime minister before the election so much different than the one after?
So then, of course, we heard yesterday the rebuttal to that. We played a clip of it a little bit earlier, was Mark Carney saying, I'm willing to admit when I made a mistake and I chose my words poorly, should not have said who cares. Lots of people still focused on this, thinking there's maybe even deeper meaning than that. I got Perry in Osler. Your thoughts on the bad choice of words from the Prime Minister, Perry?
No, it wasn't a bad choice of words. He meant what he said. And he also said he's going to look inward for trade, inward into Canada. So in other words, is they're going to continue keeping their bad policies. They're going to continue with the carbon tax increase, and they're just basically going to tax us more to bring in more money.
You know, thanks, Perry. Appreciate the call. The bad policy part of this is something that everyone is watching very closely with this pending pipeline deal. Tomorrow's the day we're supposed to hear. In fact, Mark Carney is set to make his way to Calgary, it sounds like, for a handshake deal with the Alberta Premier, Danielle Smith, on a pipeline. But it's not without its caveats, if you will. And by the way, they're calling it a memorandum of understanding, defining the conditions of the two governments' dealings on energy, expected to be formalized tomorrow. Of course, Danielle Smith has a list of demands from Carney, from his Liberal government, to offer a pathway to see a new bitumen pipeline built from Alberta to the BC coast. By the way, that proposal has been rejected by Coastal First Nations and the BC Premier David Eby. So as part of all of this, the Prime Minister is saying to Danielle Smith, you're going to have to work with BC to make this happen. They also are looking for some changes with regard to environmental conditions, stronger commitments from Alberta around a willingness to strengthen its carbon price, which is something that's been put on the table. That emissions cap on oil and gas, Mark Carney opened the door to scrapping that in the November 4th budget, but linking it to basically saying strong methane regulations and expansion of carbon capture and storage technologies might take the place of it. So many people saying even if they do get rid of the oil and gas cap, it's not necessarily going to have the impact that many would like. Well, we got lots of things going on. We got lots to watch for, and we have more great conversation coming up, because at the bottom of the hour here at 9:30, we are going to check in with the Minister of Finance for the province, Jim Ryder. It was yesterday that we got our midterm financial report. And keep in mind, this is something that happens every year. We get a quarterly update. Our quarterly update showed that we were likely departed from that small surplus that was expected, and we will be seeing actually a bit of a deficit. That deficit has grown a bit since the first quarter update, so that was given yesterday. Jim Ryder is joining us next. We will talk a little bit about the pressures that the province has been facing. Keep in mind, a budget is an aspirational document. It is what they hope to achieve, but things can change.